What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the All In Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Elijah Cooper, and my guy, Mike Badzik, is here with us once again. How's it going, Brody?
It's going great. We've got NFL, MLB playoffs on as we speak.
Yes, sir.
Got that going in the background a little bit. The Astros are playing right now, so cheering against them. And then we've got, in 12 days, NBA regular season going on.
So yeah.
We are almost at the perfect storm. We're almost there.
So quick topic I didn't prepare you for since you mentioned NBA.
Okay.
You think Kyrie Irving sits out 41 games this year?
Yeah. Doesn't seem like he's got – well, Wiggins changed his mind, right? Wiggins,
yeah.
They were able to persuade him to – he eventually got it, it looks like. Yeah. I don't think Kyrie's going to budge because I think he's got different reasons.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
His reasons are a little more deep-seated in his brain, it seems. I don't know exactly what's going on. So I don't know.
Well, we know Kyrie's the contrarian, you know, like he's going to do opposite of everybody else. You know what I mean? Like he's that kind of guy now. He's like evolved into that kind of guy. And it's to the point where it's like, would you be surprised if, so let's say, I mean, as we get closer to the season, this is going to be a bigger issue, but like the Nets have to do something, right? Like you just trade away all these assets and, you know, you're kicking all this money to these guys for to putting your chips in to try to win a title. And now one of the guys who you really do need for the Nets to win it, I think they need Kyrie with how they're currently constructed, right?
Like
your offense has to be incredible because they're not really good defensively. They got to make a decision. They got to be like, all right, well, we're going to play 41 games without this guy and hope some kind of state law changes or hope he changes his mind by the playoffs, or we're going to move him. We're going to try to trade him for and see what we can get back for him. Cause he could play in another city. You know what I mean?
The problem most is of the games.
I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? Like he would only, he just can't play in New York or California or San Francisco. So,
right. Specifically San Francisco.
So like, everywhere else he could play, so they could kind of trade him and be like, "Listen, all right, well, if you're not going to do this, we got to move you.
Maybe send him
to Philly."
Oh, brother!
I think the Nets would rather have 41 games of Kyrie Irving.
Ben Simmons, Kyrie trade.
No, but in all seriousness, like, and then, or maybe if the Nets are like, "No, we're not going to trade him." And he doesn't really want to – what if he just retires? Would you be surprised? What if he's like, all right, well, I just won't play?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. But also, when I said just now out loud a Ben Simmons for a Kyrie trade, I actually don't hate that for the Nets.
He's a really good fit for them. He'd be a perfect fit for them.
He would be like their Draymond, right? I mean
– exactly.
Play off the ball, Harden and KD, and play defense?
Right, and Ben and James Harden pick and roll is intriguing to me.
I think
you create a lot of mismatch. He's a lob threat, excellent defender. He'd immediately be your best defender at all positions on the floor.
Wow, and Kyrie and Embiid.
Would be a great duo. I think they're the perfect pair together as well.
We would have to
throw in some stuff, I think.
Yeah, but I think so.
Yeah.
But I think
maybe
you do
Maxie,
that.
But, yeah.
Wow. That was out of nowhere. I kind of like it, though.
You know what? Make the call. Where's let me get Doc on the phone.
Daryl.
Oh, Daryl. Right. Yeah.
Daryl.
All right. So let's get into some NFL talk because we're deep into the NFL season now. 4 weeks in, which used to be a quarter of the way through. Now it's like 0.23 or
can I? For one second. When I now, one right? second. I absolutely hate that it's a 17 game season. I absolutely hate it.
I don't understand it. I don't understand. Why 17?
Wow.
Why not 18? I mean, the money. No, I mean, like, why not 18?
That's what they can get the players to agree to. But
true.
It's like, I just hate that it's an odd number.
Yeah, that is weird to me.
You can't go 500. There's no 500 teams.
Yeah, that I don't like that either. I agree wholeheartedly.
Plus, the schedule they had was, like, perfect, right? You play your division twice. You play one of the other AFC divisions, one NFC division, and then the teams that you finished in the same place as in your conference. Like, it worked out perfectly. And yeah. Now we've got this random game in there.
Don't love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into some week five news that happened earlier this week and some surprise changes. Stephon Gilmore gets traded to Carolina for a 6th round pick. They were actually going to cut him because right. they weren't able to find a trade. And then I guess maybe Carolina didn't feel so confident about him clearing waivers and decided to give up a 6th round pick for him. Carolina has now added CJ Henderson from the Jags. They just traded Dan Arnold for him the week prior. And now Stephon Gilmore, who for those who don't know, is on the PUP list. He can't come back until week 6. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, JC Horn went down. They lost him for the season and made these two moves, one for a young corner, one for a older, I think he's about 32, veteran corner who's been one of the best in the league when healthy. I mean, Carolina defense that was already playing pretty well despite, you know, what Dallas just did to them. I think they got better with this trade, right?
Oh, absolutely. If nothing else, you add a veteran guy who's been there, done that, and is highly respected around the league, is going to be highly respected in that locker room. And you look at a team that doesn't have a ton of, you know, veteran leadership. And when you're trying to compete and you're trying to actually make the playoffs, which it looks like they're going to go for this year, Darnold's playing really well. And I really like this coaching staff. I think it's a move that makes a lot of sense for the direction they're going. Maybe they looked at it and they were looking at this season coming in and saying, you know, we don't know if we're going to be that good, but we're going to go for it. And if it goes well, we will really press the pedal down. And that's what they're doing here. They're saying, hey, we believe in our team after these first 4 games that we can make a run at this 17 playoff. And for the Patriots, I think they're in the opposite boat now where they're saying, you know, this wasn't going to get done long term. Maybe our window isn't open yet. You know, the Bills obviously are now out and running after the week 1 loss. So it looks like the division is going to be out of reach for them. And they're maybe looking at it and saying, hey, let's get what we can. You know, it's the Patriots. So, you know, they're going to turn that 6th round pick into a Pro Bowler. And it was a smart move for them to release it in the morning. They say, hey, we're going to cut this guy. I think they were talking to some teams and saying, hey, you know, trying to dabble and saying, can we get this? Can we get that? It wasn't working out. So then they say, hey, we're going to release him. It kind of opens up the market a little bit more. And the Panthers, who kind of just happen to be right place, right time, land this guy who's got potential to be a Pro Bowl cornerback for a 6th round pick. I think it makes sense for both of their timelines, and I really like the move for the Panthers.
I agree, and especially considering that they lost, you know, J.C. Horn. I think both of the moves they made were very smart moves because I think their secondary was probably the weak point of their defense. They have a really good front 7. Without J.C. Horn, their secondary was going to look a little bit shaky. You know, and 2 straight trades that look really good for them. Assuming, of course, Stephon Gilmore comes back and is the same Stephon Gilmore that he's been in the past. So I agree wholeheartedly. Carolina, who we're going to talk about quite a bit today, looking pretty good. And then the Cowboys made another shock move. Jalen Smith, outside linebacker, was released earlier in the week. The day before, actually, he was released. They still had to pay him $7.5 million, and he ended up signing with Green Bay earlier today, I believe. So Jalen Smith leaving one contender. I don't know if we consider Dallas contenders and maybe joining another
one. I consider them contenders.
I put him in there, right? Yeah.
Let's, you know, the thing is that he hasn't played well this year. Really, last year, too, he struggled. So it's like, you know, you wonder what Green Bay's getting here. I think it's better than doing nothing, right? I think, if anything else, they're trying to prove to Aaron Rodgers that they care as much as he does about winning. And it's always been this situation where the defense couldn't get the stops. Well, you get a guy who can put pressure on the quarterback and make big plays on defense. Maybe that helps with that, or at least he could do that in the past. We haven't seen it this year, but sometimes a player who, you know, had success and then it, you know, the flame runs out, maybe he goes to a new spot and he's able to find that again, change of scenery. That can help a lot of times when you have a guy who's aging like this, who has success, and then, you know, it does starts to not work out so much. We've seen that over and over again. I think that's what Green Bay is going for here. Wouldn't be surprised if he's making an impact in the playoffs, though. I think he's a big game player who understands his role now. Maybe he comes to Green Bay and he understands what they're going to ask him to do. So yeah. I think, you know, I can't guarantee that he's going to be a starter for them or an impact player the rest of the year. But I think it's a good move for Green Bay to at least do something and show that they're really going for it.
I agree. It's a low risk deal for them. Yeah. He didn't look good in Dallas. I think this change in scheme did not suit him very well at all. I think you're right. I think obviously he's not going to start right away. It's going to take him a while to get up to speed with the Packers, you know, scheme and different things that they do. But I agree. I think he's a playoff ad, right? When you're looking ahead down the road, can this guy help us win games, down the stretch and in the playoffs? I think the answer to that is yes, depending on how he's utilized. But still think he has a lot left in the tank, still, you know, like the talent. And, I think the Packers, you know, it's a win-win for them.
Yeah, and this is also a guy who can really – he can play a middle linebacker or outside linebacker. And when you're talking about a 17-game season this year, like, there's going to be attrition. There's going to be injuries. It's like people will oftentimes say, well, they don't need him because they already have – this guy. Well, you know, you can never have too much depth. There's no such thing as too much depth. So I think it's a good move for the Packers. It might not pay off right away, but I think come playoff time, maybe it does a little more.
I agree. Now, before we move on, we're going to play a little game. But before we move on, just want to remind you guys, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button on your screen to subscribe to the channel. As you can see, our social media feeds are there at the bottom. But if you're one of our great listeners on the audio platform, you can also subscribe to us on our YouTube channel and follow us on social media. Wherever you're listening or watching, make sure you follow us on social media at @all_in_pod, on All In Network, on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure you guys follow us on those social media platforms and get updates about when new content and things like that are dropping. So, little game we got called Contenders versus Pretenders. So we're going to give six teams here that are 3-1 or better as contenders to win their divisions. Are they contenders to win their divisions? Do we believe in them to win that specific division is what we're referring to when we say contender. So it's a little early on. But let's dive in here. First team we have is the Bengals, sitting at 3-1. This was a team everyone expected to still be in rebuild mode while they did add a bunch of talent, and now probably have arguably one of the best offensives in the AFC North with the talent that they have. Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins when healthy, Joe Mixon when healthy. They did a little bit to fix up their offensive line, which looks a little bit better now. Not great, but better. Tough division in the AFC North with the Browns and the Ravens. Do you believe in the Bengals being a contender in this division?
No. Nope, I do not. And I will hold out on them for the same amount of time that I held out on the Browns. The Bengals are going to be the Bengals for a little bit longer, I think. Even if you look at the wins that they have accumulated this year, week one, they beat the Vikings, who really had one of the weirdest off seasons, right? They had the whole vaccination, unvaccinated thing, and that just kind of lingered, and it looked like a team who really wasn't ready for week one. They barely beat a really bad, unorganized Jacksonville team, took a game-winning field goal to do that at home, and then they beat a Steelers team who also appears to be a mess right now. And they're not even getting brought up in this contender pretender discussion because I think we're both in agreement that it's not looking good for them. So I'm a little dubious of their wins so far. I do think that the offense has improved. I do think that Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase is a great connection. And we were kind of criticizing that pick when it happened, thinking that they should have taken an offensive lineman to protect him. But they were able to add some pieces, and it's a little bit better blocking this year. Jamar Chase looks great. Tyler Boyd, they've got weapons. Even T. Higgins, who's been injured a little bit. So I do like the strides they're making, but I'm not ready to call them contenders yet.
Yeah, me neither. They're like the definition of pretenders. I think long term, obviously, this team has tremendous upside with that offense. So, you know, I still think they're a few years away. Like you mentioned, weak schedule so far, only 2 wins combined amongst the 3 teams that they've beaten. So, yeah, I'm not really in on the Bengals just yet. And also, they lost to the Bears when Andy Dalton was hurt. Yeah. And the Bears offense is just bad. So, you know, that's a bad loss, in my opinion. So sitting at 3-1, great start. And obviously, love the Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow connection. Still, I think their offensive line needs to get better. That defense needs to get better. So holding out on them, they got a tough one against the Packers this week, which will tell us a lot more about them, you know, for sure. But for this year, I'm going to put them in the pretender category as well. So let's move on to the Broncos, who are sitting at 3-1, coming off a tough loss to the Ravens. They got a matchup with the Steelers this week. Teddy Bridgewater, questionable, rolling into week 5. How are you feeling about the Broncos? Which category are we putting them in?
This one's maybe the toughest one for me to decide, because I actually do like this Bronco team. I like Teddy Two Gloves when he's out there. I don't like Drew Lock, so if it's Drew Lock, they're in trouble. But I do like this defense a lot too, with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller on the outside. Like, that's a really formidable defense. The home field advantage that they have at Mile High, you know, really gets overlooked sometimes, but it is actually a huge factor. But similar to the Bengals, look at that teams they've beaten so far. Not exactly a gauntlet of wins for them. When you talk about the Giants, the Jets, it hasn't been, and I think the Jaguars were the other one. So 3 wins against, you know, 3 of the 5 worst teams in the league, probably we'd agree, and they lose that game to Baltimore. Now, if they beat the Steelers, and granted, the Steelers are not considered to be one of these, you know, they're not even in the top half of the league either, but if they're able to win in Pittsburgh, that's a little bit more of a win where you say, okay, like, yeah, good team wins that game. And then maybe we start to consider them at 4-1 an actual contender in this division. But for right now, I'm going for tender. But I think it's close. I like this team.
I agree. They do 2 things that generally breed wins. They run the ball well, and they defend. And Teddy Bridgewater has been very good to start the year. You know, he's never a guy that really, you know, is going to be the leader of a super high-powered offense, but he's going to be the leader of an efficient one. He doesn't make mistakes. He takes care of the football, and he moves the chains. And that's, you know, really all you can really ask from someone like him. So, you know, I really do like the Broncos team, but I am also putting them in the pretenders category. Of their 3 wins, they have, their opponents have 1 combined win, and that's because the Jets upset the Titans on Sunday. So, yeah, don't love them. The win against the Steelers would be nice. Not enough to convince me that they're a real threat, I don't think. And because this division is such a gauntlet, like the Raiders 3-1, Chargers 3-1, Chiefs are 2-2. Like, this division is just so tough. When I really just look at the talent that this team has, they still have the least amount of talent amongst all 4 AFC West teams. So I think eventually there's going to be some regression for them. But
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they find the way to at least make it into the playoffs as the second seed in this division. If, you know, if they stay healthy with how good that defense is.
Yeah, I agree. Well, can we stick with the AFC West teams then? I know we got more of them.
Yeah, we do. So let's go to Chargers. Got a big win against the Raiders Monday night. How you feeling about the Chargers?
Contenders. Like this Charger team a lot. Herbert, so obviously they've beaten the Chiefs now, which is a huge one. On the road, they beat the Chiefs, so that's going to be huge when it comes down to these tiebreakers and things. So Justin Herbert, like, when we look at Justin Herbert in 10 years, like, is he going to be, like, a top 2 quarterback? Is it him and Mahomes? Like, I don't know what young quarterback is going to be better than him. And then you've got this – the fact that the Dolphins took Tua over him, yeah, and they're about to potentially trade for Deshaun Watson, who's going to spend a year in jail. Like, how bad of a decision is that? Like, where does that rank? Are we looking at that? Like, Herbert is unbelievable. He looks like a future MVP to me.
Well, do you remember the podcast we did where we discussed Herbert being a future MVP? Was one of the things we talked about. I said, yes, I've been on the Herbert train since really probably like three after his third start, maybe. I've been bought in because he's got everything. He's got the arm talent. He's mobile, can move. He reads defense as well. You know, the guy's good. You know, he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't turn the ball over. I can't really think of a flaw that he has, you know? So yeah, he looks really good right now. And I think like when we're looking like long-term as far as like best quarterbacks in the league, I think I like him over Burrow. I like him over Trevor Lawrence so far. Like,
yeah,
you know, granted we haven't really seen Trevor Lawrence with, you know, a competent coach and offense yet. So maybe I'll withhold that judgment, but like, yeah, when you're looking that far in advance, or, you know, you talk about the Kyler Murrays and those kind of guys.
Murray,
I think Kyler Murray's up there.
Josh Allen.
When you're projecting out that far. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Josh Allen, you know, so it's definitely a lot of good young QBs, but I think, like, he can hold his own against all of those guys.
He can make any throw that any of those guys can make.
Exactly. So, yeah, he's definitely up there. I got the Chargers in the contender spot, too. You know, I'm a big fan of Brandon Staley as well. He just had a press conference the other day. I don't know if you saw that, where he was discussing the value behind running the football. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's a small thing, right? Like, most people maybe even already understand that, but he's given people like an in-depth look into, like, listen, like, running the football is important, not because you need it to set up the pass, right? Like, all the numbers tell you that you don't actually need to run the ball in order to set up the pass, but running the ball brings this element into the game where the physicality of it, right? Where, like, you have to tackle, you have to shed blocks, like, you have to do that when a team runs the ball. You don't necessarily have to do that on pass plays. And he made an excellent point about why that's important. I kind of hope Nick Sirianni was listening. But, you know, but that's the kind of thing where, like, when a coach gets it about how these little things that don't show up on stat sheets are important in getting wins, to me, that's crucial in your team being a contender. Like, a lot of people lose focus on those kind of things. You know, like, I think the Chiefs for a little bit lost focus on that. Like, they you know, kind of just went to, like, Mahomes do everything, and you have to remember, like, hold on, whoa, you know, there are still these things that make Mahomes great or make life easier for Mahomes that we need to be doing. And a lot of times I think teams forget about those kind of things. Brandon Staley seems to have his mind in the right place. He's got the talent. He has two incredible wide receivers. Mike Williams is super talented.
Yep.
Keenan Allen's one of the best in the league. Got Austin Eckler out of the backfield, who's a do-it-all back. He's been excellent. You know, that offense is super high powered. The defense looks good. This Chargers team could win that division. I do. I think they could win that division for sure.
I agree.
And then the other team, maybe in contention in that division, is the Raiders. How are we feeling after their loss to the Chargers Monday night?
You know, I don't want to punish them too much for losing in LA, right? A road game. But I just cannot imagine Derek Carr keeping up this pace of play. I want to believe, but I just can't imagine it. So I'm going to go pretender here. I just can't imagine that they're going to be able to win games in Kansas City like the Chargers did. And so I have to put them in the pretender for right now. I do love what they're doing. I love Derek Carr's play so far. I just can't see it, though.
Yeah, I'm also going to put them in the pretender category. To me, I thought their start was a little fluky. Like, Derek Carr was throwing for 400 yards a game.
Exactly.
Through the first three games. And, like, as well as he's been playing, that is not sustainable for him. Like, that's not the kind of quarterback that he is ultimately. Like Derek Carr, a lot of times you watch him and you're like, man, like Derek Carr is underrated. You know what I mean? You watch him and you're like, yo, he can play. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. And then nights like Monday night happened where it's like, he didn't look good. You know what I mean? Like, Joey Bosa talked about how he looked shook. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There are these times where it's like, Derek Carr, what are you doing? You know what I mean? There's those moments in those kind of games that he typically has, right. You know, and when you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, who do not have those moments.
They're ever, not going to do that.
Almost. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that's honestly, I think a lot of times that's the difference. Their running game is almost non-existent. I'm not sure what's, you know, I know Josh Jacobs has been in and out and banged up. They don't seem to like Kenyon Drake at all, despite giving him $11 million. Like, was supposed to be the receiving back, and he was for the first couple of weeks. Then they like Peyton Barber. He goes down Monday night. So it's like, you know, their running game is a little bit iffy. And I think that puts too much pressure on Derek Carr to be a 400-yard, 3-touchdown passer every week. And he's just not that guy.
I agree with you, man. I agree. I just can't see it. And now they're, you know, even like, you know, the win against the Steelers. Now we're looking at that a little bit differently than we did when it happened, right? So I think the further we get out, the more we're going to realize that Derek Carr is not who he has been the first couple weeks.
I agree. And then, so let's move on. We have out in the NFC West picked up a big win this week. The Cardinals at 4-0.
Contender, Kyler Murray, MVP.
Okay, I'm on board because Kyler Murray has been incredible. And I've always actually, let me go back. So when Kyler Murray first came out, I thought he should have went and played baseball. I didn't love the size.
Oh, really?
And also, baseball players make an incredible amount of money. But I thought he should have took – and it's a safer sport. I thought he should have took the baseball option. However, I think he made the right choice. Like, dude,
I think he did.
Dude, he's unsackable. Like, I watch their games, and teams get pressure on him, like legitimate pressure, where every other quarterback in the league would get sacked, and he finds a way out of it. And then he'll find somebody downfield, or he scrambles, you know, for a positive game. But it's almost impossible to sack that guy. Like, he's incredibly like quick and explosive. And then when he gets out of the pocket, he's dangerous, man. With all the weapons that he has, DeAndre Hopkins, we don't even have to talk about that. AJ Green seems to be revived. Christian Kirk has always been a solid slot receiver. Young Rondale Moore. They've got a running
James
game.
Connor, Chase Ed, balling.
James Connor is a bruiser for them. They've got their change of pace guy in Chase. You know, it's there's so many weapons. That offense is great. They've improved on the defensive side. I was shocked, man. They beat the bricks off the Rams. It wasn't as close as the final score ended up showing. Like, we have to take this team seriously.
We have to. And honestly, the weak point is Cliff Kingsbury. And he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong against the Rams. So we should give him credit. And, you know, and you mentioned the should he have gone and played baseball thing. Like, I probably at that point in time, if I remember, was saying he should go play baseball. Because of the, you know, the damage to your body. But the bet he took was there is no celebrity like an NFL quarterback, a really good NFL quarterback, you know, minus LeBron James. That's really the only basketball player who compares to NFL quarterback. And he's done it so far. He's on pace. He's the favorite for MVP right now. I wouldn't bet against him.
I would not bet against him either. And then our final contender that we're going to talk about is a team we kind of discussed, which is Carolina, sitting at 3-1, coming off a tough loss against the Cowboys, but they play my Eagles this week. How are we feeling about the Panthers? Contenders in an NFC South division with the Bucks?
So my brain is telling me pretender, because we haven't seen teams do this type of a flip to, you know, go from, I think they're like 5-11 or 5-11 to 5-11. Going and winning their division, especially when that division includes the Super Bowl champion in Tampa Bay. But I think they're going to beat your Eagles, which is going to make them 4-1. And then we're looking at a team where we're like 4-1. That's actually really good. It's hard not to call them a contender. Darnold has done pretty much everything he can so far, right? I know he's a little bit limited, but he's been really good. I like Matt Rhule a lot. I like their coaching staff. And now they add Gilmore, like we talked about at the top of the show. I think that this is a team that, if nothing else, they're going to be in every game. I don't think anybody's walking all over them or not going to take them seriously when they go play them. So I think I have to call them a contender right now. This might be the only one we disagree on.
So I'm still putting them in the pretender category.
Okay.
And the only reason is because, honestly, if the Bucks weren't in this division, I think I'd probably put them in the contender category, obviously. But, Listen, Sam Darnold's been great, but he's leading the league in rushing touchdowns. That's probably not sustainable. DJ Moore is carrying a heavy load. And I've always liked the talent of DJ Moore. Don't get me wrong. I always love the talent. I'm not sure his production is sustainable. They're definitely going to have to get Robbie Anderson more involved. Christian McCaffrey could be back this week. Of course, yeah, he would come back against the Eagles. But, you know, even if he doesn't, we're probably – you're still even looking at, like, week six, week seven, you know, as his comeback date, which is good. Like, that's definitely something you'd want if you're trying to make the playoffs. I think they made some excellent trades to make themselves, you know, more contenders. I don't see a path where they win more games than the Bucks, and that's really the only reason I have them in the pretenders category here. But definitely a playoff team, I think.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, I don't expect them to win the division. I don't expect the Chargers to win the division either. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's really hard to pick against the Bucks.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, could they? I think so. You know, because I'm not sure how serious the Bucks are going to care about winning the division. Like, you know, the Bucks might be in a mood where it's like, just make the playoffs and then we do what we have to do from there. But, you know, it is – I like the Panthers, but, you know, let's look at their wins. Texans, Saints – who we thought was an impressive win, not actually
maybe not,
so
maybe
much.
Not, yeah.
Right, and then the Jets. You know, okay. Those are all games that they probably should have won.
Okay, all right, you convinced me. I'm off the Panthers.
Since we're talking about the Panthers, let's get into our Week 5 preview. And, yeah, like we mentioned earlier, they play against my treacherous Eagles. So, I mean, that's a pretty obvious win for the Panthers, right?
You know what? I don't think it's obvious,
really?
Right? Especially when you mention the teams
nice.
They just to be. Well, I mean, I don't know if any win against Jalen Hurts is obvious. He's pretty dynamic. Like,
that's a good
you know,
point.
The running ability, and like, he can do some things that can keep a team in a game. I don't. Is Miles Sanders playing? Is he going to be there? They don't use him anyway, so I don't.
Yeah,
understand.
I was going to say, yeah, he'll be there for his 5 carries.
Yeah, they don't give him. They don't give him the ball.
Yeah. All right. Looks like we lost Mike for a brief second here. So I'll give my analysis here on the. Oh, here we go. We got Mike back. Let's bring Mike back in. What's up, bud?
Okay. Again, the stream did not want me to be here. It just totally closed on me. So, okay,
you're about to say something bad about Miles Sanders.
He did that. He did that. So, I think I'm going to take the Panthers. I do think that, you know, McCaffrey looks like he's going to play this week. So I just think it's going to be tough for the Eagles to get stops. They're not great at that. So I'm going with the Panthers here. What's the line on this one? Is it like 6, I'm guessing, with
3,
this matchup?
Actually.
Oh, it's only 3? Oh, I'll be betting
yeah.
on the Panthers.
Now,
I'll be betting on the Panthers.
I don't know if they've adjusted that for Christian McCaffrey to play, but yeah, 3-point line. I should probably get in on that before he's announced in the lineup.
So this is what you do. If anybody just getting into gambling, bet against your team every week. And then they either win and you're happy or you win the bet and you're happy.
Exactly. Yes, we do that quite often in the Cooper household. All right. So yeah, you know, I do agree. I don't think it's a slam dunk for the Panthers. Eagles actually looked really good against the Chiefs. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Week 4 matchups, but the Eagles actually looked pretty good offensively, I should say. Defensively, I don't think we had a chance. You know, that's Chiefs offense is good. Tyreek Hill is really good. I don't know if you heard of that guy, but yeah, he's pretty good. So I didn't expect much. I didn't expect a win, but we kept it much more competitive than I thought. Jalen Hurts looked really good. Honestly, penalties called back had a, you know, called back a couple of touchdowns for the Eagles, which we might be talking about a different game if that doesn't happen. That's the one thing that's kind of killing this Eagles team. They clean that up. You know, I like their chances here against the Panthers. But yeah, I'm going to take the Panthers. No, I'm going to take the Panthers in this one. But I would not be shocked if we pulled off the upset, and that would be great if we could.
Yeah, it would put you right back in the division hunt.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about your awful team. Steelers taking on the Broncos. Broncos sitting at 3-1. We got them as pretenders, but do we think they don't come out with a win here against the Steelers?
I'm taking the Steelers, baby. The winning streak starts this week, okay? This is going to be the start of a winning streak. So we've got Broncos at home this week, Seahawks at home next week. We know how the Seahawks do on the road. It's usually not great. Plus, Russell Wilson is only ever good in September. And then we got the big one in Cleveland. If we get through that one, which I think we will because we own Cleveland and Ben never loses in Ohio, then we got the Bears at home, Lions at home. The winning streak is starting this week. And 5 weeks from now, we're going to be talking about the Steelers as potentially the best team in the AFC. Did you buy all that?
Not even a little bit, no.
Okay. Maybe not all that. But I do think that they win this week. I don't know if Teddy's playing. I think he's listed as questionable. If it's Drew Lock, I think that the defense is just all over him. And the Broncos don't score more than 15 points. So I'm going to take the Steelers either way. I did like Ben's comments this week. He said, you know, I'm not going to blame injuries. I just need to play better. Does that mean he's going to play better? I don't think that that's how it works. But yeah. I hope it is. I hope it works. I'm taking the Steelers here. I'm going to rock with them.
Ooh. Oh, man. I'm going to take the Broncos because I don't have any faith in the Steelers offense. Like, and now, granted, if Drew Lock is playing, then, you know, I don't like their chances so much. But, like, I just don't see how the Steelers move the ball against this Broncos defense. At least the Broncos can run the ball. Like, at least, even if Drew Lock's playing, I think at bare minimum they can do that. And, honestly, Drew Lock has a better arm right now than Ben Roethlisberger and is more mobile. So, like, I don't know. I'm not saying he's better than Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not going to say that. But, like, at this stage of his career, he can at least push the ball. You know what I mean? He can at least push the ball down the field and run away from a potential sack. Right. Ben Roethlisberger can't do any of those things. He has I'm almost certain Ben Roethlisberger is playing through the gout. So, it's – but it's –
That's not right, bro.
No, but in all seriousness – I would not be shocked if so. If Drew Lock's in this game, I definitely think your defense can save you. What's TJ Watt's status looking like?
I think he's playing. I'm pretty sure. He's playing.
Okay, if TJ Watt's playing, he's probably going to be a menace for Drew Lock this week. So, you know, Drew Lock's in there. I can see a lot of turnovers. I can see a lot of turnovers. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick gets right this week if Drew Lock is playing. So I wouldn't be surprised. The line is even right now. Actually, on that matchup, because you know Steelers are home. If you're a better, I'd probably take the Steelers, and then also take the under. Take the under, regardless of who's quarterback, and take the under. Well,
so, I just want to say, like, we lost to the Packers last week, but there was a play right before halftime. The Steelers blocked the field goal and took it to the house. They called offsides. He was not offsides.
It was pitiful.
Perfect jump. It was a perfect jump. He was not offsides. And if they let that go, we're talking about a completely different game. Suddenly, we're leading at halftime. Actually, it's 17-14. We're leading at halftime. And we're probably going to lose anyway. But I'm not sure we're talking about the Steelers the same way that we are right now. I'm not sure that the Steelers are totally done yet.
That's a solid point. I'm not gonna lie, it's a solid point. This one's a toss up though. So, so we're on opposite ends. We're on opposite ends of this one, Steelers and Broncos. Let's move on to our third preview. 2-3-1 teams.
Yep.
Browns and Chargers.
Yeah.
Head to head this week. Some news came out about Baker actually partially tore his labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, but he's going to play through it for the rest of the year. They got Odell Beckham Jr. back, which is a good sign for them. Who you like in this one? Browns on the road.
Yep.
In Los Angeles.
So this is another one. You know, tough thing about picking these games on. This is Thursday for us. So tough thing about that is we don't know exactly who's playing and who's not. Myles Garrett is questionable.
Yeah.
Unsure if he's going to play. If he does play, it's going to be really tough for the Chargers to move the ball. But I'm going to take the Chargers here. And Baker, you mentioned it. He's the reason why. I still do not think that he makes the throws. He's not that good. Like, he's just not that good. They're great at running the ball. They're amazing at running the ball. And their defense now is suddenly one of the best in the leagues. It's, like, funny. Like, when they drafted Baker is when everything changed. But it's for every reason besides Baker that everything changed. The running game is now unbelievable. The defense is now unbelievable. And they kind of win, I don't want to say despite Baker, but it's certainly not because of Baker. So I'm going to take the Chargers here. I actually think Herbert will make some throws that Baker just cannot. And at home in LA, I like this Chargers team a lot. I'm going to go with them.
I also agree. I like the Chargers in this one. At home, Browns going cross country. It's always tough. As great as their defense has looked, I agree again that Myles Garrett will play a major factor in whether they win this game. You know, I'm not in on Baker either. Someone on ESPN, I forget who it was, I saw the clip before we started recording today, said that Baker's the most replaceable quarterback in the NFL. And I think that's like the perfect way to describe it.
He is. That's
absolutely right. Like, can you think of a quarterback in the NFL who can't do what Baker Mayfield does? Like a starting quarterback, even a couple of backups. Like, Cam Newton could do what Baker Mayfield's doing right now. Like,
yes.
You know, like I hand the ball off to Nick Chubb, dump it off to Kareem Hunt, make a couple of, you know, short throws. They don't really push the ball down the field a ton. Like, and trust your defense and running game.
Well, that's why you can't see it in the playoffs right now. Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is just as good as Baker Mayfield is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, so I agree wholeheartedly there on your assessment. But the Chargers being home is honestly what puts me over the edge here. Even though I like the Browns as a team, the Chargers being home in this one, I think if it's on the road, I think maybe we're having a different discussion. It's always tough for East Coast teams to go out West and West Coast teams to come out. Well, I don't know that you consider Ohio East Coast, but you know,
Midwest.
Yeah. Midwest teams. It's always that kind of travel is always tough. Give me the Chargers. They got a -2 point spread. I think the Chargers with the points there.
I think so.
Yeah. And then on Sunday night, we got an AFC championship rematch, Bills versus Chiefs. Josh Allen versus Mahomes again. Right. How are we feeling about those two?
Yep. I think I'm going to go with the Bills here. I actually think Josh Allen is outplaying Mahomes this year. And I really like this Bills team. Chiefs team, it has not been the same for these guys this year. There's something wrong in KC. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't be that surprised. Historically, teams that lose the Super Bowl, the following year, there is a letdown, typically. Yeah. So, we're seeing that. We thought maybe they'd be immune to that because of Patrick Mahomes. They have not been so far. You look at like Josh Allen. I think they're more on a mission. This year, but like, you know, the Chiefs, like Mahomes, they hasn't been the protection that he needs so far. There's been a regression clearly from the defense. The offensive line has had so much turnover that I'm sure that is an issue. Bills are going to make a statement, I think, on Sunday night. I'm going to pick them to win, despite Patrick Mahomes. I think Mahomes really wants it bad. And if they can't win this game, I think we're going to have big questions, right? Because this is a game that they need to win. They don't want to go below 500 5 weeks into the year. So I'm going with the Bills in a close one, though. Can't hear you, boss.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I agree with you, man. This is going to be a close one. And it's a toss-up for me. I think I'm going to go with the Bills right now. I think if this game happened later in the season, I'd have more confidence in KC. But I'm gonna go with the Bills as well. This Chiefs defense has been awful. It's been up 30 points to every single team that they've played so far. All 14. Even the Eagles, who looked
right
against the Cowboys, like, and the week after they put up 30 on the Chiefs. So, like, you know, or I'm sorry, the Browns had 29. But you get my point. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad. You know, a Ravens offense put up 36 on them. They had 17 against the Lions the next week. You know, it's just, I have big concerns about this defense. They were never great, but they were at least like the kind of defense where when you needed them to get a stop, you know, a couple of stops, they could. They got enough stops for your offense, you know, to win games. They can't stop anybody right now.
Nobody.
So this Bills offense has been as high powered as it gets in the NFL so far. I'm going to roll with the momentum in this one and take the Bills, even though they're on the road on Sunday night. I think they're in better form. I think the Chiefs will have the opportunity to get back on track once they, after this game, they got Washington, Tennessee, and then the Giants. So I think those are three wins that'll get them back on track. But
yeah,
I think we start asking major questions after this one.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be concerning, man. But they could win. They could win. I mean, Mahomes might do the incredible stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm not counting them out at all. Like, this is going to be a shootout. Take the over if you're a betting person. Yeah, you know, there's not anything Mahomes can't do. So I don't want to make it seem like, you know, the Chiefs have no chance in this one. But the way these teams are trending – I'm gonna go with the team that's trending up, which is the Bills.
Agreed.
All right. You want to close out with week five pick'em?
Let's do it. It's my favorite thing.
All right. So we doing the Thursday night game?
No.
No. Okay. We'll skip Thursday night because most of you guys will probably be listening or watching after that game. So we have early morning on Sunday out in London. Jets versus Falcons. No Calvin Ridley or Russell Gage. Who you got?
Give me the Jets. Dude, Zach Wilson was balling last week.
I'm also going to take the Jets here as well. No Calvin Ridley. I wonder if Kyle Pitts finally gets it going since Matt Ryan won't have anyone to throw it to. Either that or Cordell Patterson will score 5 touchdowns this week. We'll see. Packers, Bengals, both teams sitting at 3-1. We briefly talked about the Bengals earlier. Who you got?
I think the Packers win it, but it's going to be close. I do think it's going to be close. I'll take the Packers.
I agree. I'm going to take the Packers there. Lions versus Vikings.
Vikings must win game. I think that they handle business.
I also am going to take the Vikings there. We did Broncos versus Steelers. So how about Dolphins versus Bucks?
I'll take the Bucks here. Just can't see Miami winning on the road against these guys.
Not with Jacoby Brissett or Tua for that.
Or Tua, yeah.
Yeah. Washington football team and New Orleans Saints both sitting at 2-2.
I'm gonna take the Washington football team here, and then I expect in week 6 Taysom Hill to be named the starting quarterback for the Saints. That's why I picked them up in fantasy this week to get ahead of it.
Nice. Oh, you're a smart guy sometimes, man. I'm going to take Washington, too. They actually looked pretty good last week. Granted, it's against the Falcons.
Yeah.
But, you know, Heineke's not that bad.
Heineke, baby. Bad.
Like, the guy's got guts. I kind of like him. So, I'm going to take Washington as well. Titans versus Jags.
Titans. The Jags are kind of a mess right now.
Yeah, and the Titans are as well, but not as big a mess. I think they need a bounce back.
The Titans grind to a win in Jacksonville.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's talk about this real quick.
Okay.
What is Urban Meyer doing?
You know what, though? Like, I saw this thing, and it was like the owner was like, Urban Meyer must regain the trust of his players. Like, you think his players give a shit?
He cheated on the players? Yeah, like,
his players probably think he's goated. Like, he's out of the club. Like, I can't imagine his players are like, how could you do this to us?
There's like, okay, so we got, what's a 53-man roster? There's 7 players on the Jaguars roster that care about what he actually did at all.
Well, probably like, 6 because they cut Tebow.
Right. So six guys that Tebow, you know, went to church service with in the preseason. That's it. Like, you know,
I can't see. I mean, he is weird for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he's weird for but,
it's so weird, isn't it? Like, it's just, it's such a weird situation. Like, that's something you like catcher. That's like when you see something like that on Twitter, it's like a rapper or a player.
Right.
Like, that's something that you like. Urban Meyer's really out at the club after a loss on Thursday night.
But the video is so weird because he's just sitting there. Like, he's not dancing with her. He's not engaging. But he didn't push her away. It's like,
right. What's she doing? What was she doing? Like, why are you? He's just he's sitting now. What's happening here? I don't know.
We were talking about how many college girls has Urban Meyer ever hooked up with, and I set the line at 1.5 because it's like he either has never done it, he's done it once and then got caught and said I'm never doing it again, or he's done it 50 times.
Right.
I think I'm going under based on the video.
So I'm going over.
Okay.
Based on the video, because there's no way an NFL head coach, after losing on Thursday night, decides not to travel with the team for the first time ever. This ain't
right.
You. This ain't
right.
You.
Right.
Okay. Let's get back to pick'em.
Sorry.
Texans, Patriots, both sitting at 1-3. Who you got?
Patriots.
Me too. I like Mac Jones over Davis Mills.
Yes.
Raiders versus Bears.
I'm going to take the Bears in the Khalil Mack game. In the Khalil Mack game, they figure out something for Justin Fields. They'll come out party this week. I'm giving the Bears.
I would love for that to be right because I have Justin Fields in Dynasty. So okay. I also have Allen Robinson in another league and Darnell Mooney. Okay. So I'm going to pick against them because if I pick them, then it won't happen. So
there Raiders, you go.
I'm going to take the Raiders here. I also think they're the better team. But
yeah, they are.
Yeah. Give me the Raiders for good luck.
Okay.
Giants and Cowboys.
Cowboys. No discussion needed.
Cowboys by double digits. Cardinals and Niners. 4-1 and 2-2.
Good one here. Give me the Cardinals, though. Trey Lance, first start. I like him, but first start's going to be tough.
Yeah. Give me the Cardinals as well. Let's just talk about him a little bit. What'd you think about Trey Lance and his substitute? I don't want to call it a debut, but
I will say I am starting him in one of our fantasy leagues this week.
Yeah,
in the Mikey and Friends league, I'm gonna start him this week. I didn't have like a great option before. It wasn't like I'm sitting Josh Allen for him,
right?
But yeah. I am gonna start him. I think he can do some things. He clearly has some decision making room to grow.
Yeah.
But raw athletic ability and arm power, I like that much.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that guy's going to be good. You know, I think he's set up for success for sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's going to have a good offensive line, run game, and weapons around him. But, yeah, the talent is clearly there. I agree wholeheartedly. I like Trey Lance a lot. But, yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals there in that one. And then last – but certainly not least, we didn't get a chance to talk about the Ravens a lot today. But
yeah,
Ravens Colts Monday Night Football. Ravens getting a lot of primetime games.
Yeah, they are getting a lot of primetime game as the NFL and ESPN try to push the Lamar Jackson is a good quarterback narrative. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win. The Colts have been kind of a mess so far. Ravens usually good at home, especially against bad teams. So I'll go with them here.
Yes, Ravens are very good against bad teams. The Colts are a bad team. Give me the Ravens. Carson Wentz.
Ooh, that's your boy.
He's brutal.
That's your boy.
Brutal. Yeah. Although I think he might get us a first round pick.
70, there you go.
Play 75% of the snaps.
So then you don't need Hurts anymore.
Yeah.
You can get Rattler.
I don't know. I don't love Rattler.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. This QB class ain't looking great. I think it's more likely that those three picks end up in Houston for Deshaun Watson.
There you go. Then you can give Hurts another year of an opportunity while Watson's in jail. And then if it doesn't work out, he can come out and be the quarterback.
Exactly. And then you ship Hurts, package Hurts up, get something for him, you know.
Like it.
See how it goes. But all right, that closes out today's topics, guys. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. Remember, if you're listening in on the audio platform, make sure you hit that subscribe button, leave a rating and a review. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, all those other audio platform streaming podcasts. And if you're watching on the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button right there on your screen. And help out the channel. Follow us on social media. Make sure you guys retweet and share posts, leave likes, share on stories. All that good stuff helps us reach a broader audience. So if you're a fan or enjoy the podcast, feel free to help us out a little bit. We appreciate you guys showing support so far. Mike, any words for the people before we sign off?
Yeah, it looks like the Astros are going to win game one. Just wanted to say, screw the Astros. People bet against them, cheer against them.
Always.
But thank you guys for listening. Hit that subscribe button. Leave a review if you really like this and share us with your friends. So we appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for tuning in to episode 75. Have a good one.